Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Michael Law here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing tonight? Everything okay? Huh? A couple of stories we touched on last night have gotten a lot of play today. We're going to talk about the University of Florida student who was tasered while trying to debate John Kerry the other day. And also the six dead airmen from Minot Air Base or the air base in Louisiana. I mean, people are going crazy with this thing. Like, no, two of them died 6 months ago. Well, one of them was, you know, let me just say something real quick. I don't care. You know, I was passing it on as just an oddity. I said, here's an oddity for you. You know, take it for what it's worth. But to anyone who feels compelled to email me something else about the six dead airmen that may or may not have been involved in the transport of the six armed nuclear weapons across the United States a week or so ago, if you have any more stories about it, don't send them to me, okay? Or any more disputatious remarks about it didn't happen or it... Again, I don't care. It was just a story that I reported and said, you know, who knows about this kind of stuff? We're going to get to the tasered student in a moment. This was interesting. I'm always interested about things that hit the earth or things that are going to hit the earth or what wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago or extinction level events. Yada yada, that come from somewhere in deep space. Well, a fireball fell from the sky in Peru over the weekend. It created a huge crater that emitted a sickeningly smelling gas. Local authorities said more than 600 villagers have fallen ill. Video reports from the scene showed what appeared to be a 100-foot wide, 20-foot deep impact crater with a bubbling pool of water at the bottom. Oh, my God, this reminds me so much of Saturday afternoons when I was a kid back in the 50s and go to the World Theater in our neighborhood and watch movies just like this. Authorities said that the crater was made Saturday by a falling meteorite. The French news agency quoted a local official as saying, quote, boiling water started coming out of the crater and particles of rock and cinders were found nearby, end quote. The Peruvian news agency, RPP, or the Peruvian Radio Network, RPPs, reported the gases emanating from the crater caused nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, headaches, and stomach pain, so much so that authorities were considering calling a state of emergency. A newspaper down there reported that seven policemen became ill, were taken to a hospital, blah, blah, blah. So it just, you know, I just thought that was an interesting story. You know, a lot of theories... maybe not a lot, maybe two, suggest that that's the way Earth developed life, was from viruses or organic material that came here from, you know, Tralfamador someplace. I frankly, you know, I really don't care about that story either. I don't know why it caught my eye. I guess, like I said, because it reminded me of sitting in the World Theater on Saturdays when I was a kid, watching the original War of the Worlds or The Thing or It Came from Outer Space or... you know, all those Space Invaders movies, because they were trying to set us up to beware of Russians. Never mind, let's move on. Prairie 2 sent this to me. Hey, Mike, the Republican cowards tell us that Bush is protecting us by taking away our rights because the terrorists are coming to kill us. Chucklenut says oceans no longer protect us. Well, during the Revolutionary War, 1 in 60 Americans died, either fighting or because of the terrorists who crossed the ocean to come here and kill the original Americans. not the original, but the white Americans. The British executed military prisoners or used them as slaves. They occupied all our major cities. They burned the homes of civilians, took their property, executed them without trial, even bayoneting pregnant women. The British beheaded civilians suspected of being rebels and displayed their heads to terrorize others. These people were often guilty only of being accused of rebellion by their loyalist neighbors who believed King George had been sent by God to rule them. In spite of this, Washington, General Washington, issued orders that any American soldier who abused a prisoner would be punished in kind, including penalty of death. Americans wanted their rights as they believed them to be granted under English common law, rights that predated Christianity in England by 200 years. The Crown believed that English common law did not apply overseas, the same principle the Bush crime family uses to justify Guantanamo. These common law rights were not included in the original articles of the Constitution because most of the framers believed these rights couldn't be taken away by government. After all, they had paid a terrible price to get them. What price will we have to pay to get them back from George this time? Well, I don't know. It may be bloody, and it may not. There's a good chance that we don't want them back. The majority of Americans don't want them back. Now, I say that based on the apathy of most of us, the ennui, the inability to resist. And if you want a good example of that, look what happened to the guy in Florida. Beth in Portland, Oregon, sent this to me. Mike, I felt compelled to write after seeing the 21-year-old student who was tasered after asking John Kerry a series of questions at the University of Florida. I'm astounded with anger. I cannot believe that what I saw actually happened. The student had Greg Palast's book, Armed Madhouse, in his hand and was asking John Kerry about disenfranchisement in the 2004 elections. Yes, he was cocky, and his question became a bit more pestiferous when he asked about the Skull and Bone Society. But none of this warranted his arms being wrenched behind his back by four police officers, dragged to the end of the hall, tackled to the ground, and ultimately tasered. Help, he cried. Can't you see what's happening here? Why am I being arrested? No one came to his defense. In fact, some people clapped and others cheered, while most turned their faces away, embarrassed by what they were seeing. It was like watching a group of obedient brown shirts attending a propaganda meeting where a disaster was rooted out. John Kerry continued to lament in his dull monotone throughout, neither concerned for this young student's First Amendment rights or for his safety. How could a room full of people simply stand by and not call John Kerry to task? Why did no one in a room full of good Democrats, why did no one take to their feet and cry out? It is our duty as Americans to take our elected officials to task. Any questions? Ask questions and demand answers. I was stunned by John Kerry's listless reaction and underwhelmed with his tepid press release saying that I was not aware that a taser was used until after I left the building. What? Someone is tasered 20 feet from you and you claim not to know about it? I hope John Kerry is dumped out of the Senate like so much garbage. I know how you feel about introducing a third party, but we must either clean house of these elitist do-nothing Democrats or throw our weight behind a third party. We constantly ask where the Democrats' gonads are concerning impeachment, ending the war, etc. Have you ever wondered if they are as deep into deconstructing the country as the Republicans are? Are the spoils of a crumbling republic too rich to give up? The only person keeping my faith alive for the Democrats is Dennis Kucinich, Beth, in Portland. Yeah, I watched that video, and it was just shocking. If this would have been a room full of young Republicans, I could understand the inaction, the hooting and cheering, and you know, giving this guy the raspberry as he's being dragged out by four campus police officers. Jesus Christ, what is going on in this country? Man! And then, I've got one more I want to share with you. Lois in Monroeville, PA, wrote, Sandy in Palatine, Illinois, wrote, Mike, I guess nothing surprises me anymore. I just wander around in a daze, not the fun kind. You're absolutely right. Where and what has happened to our country? Case in point, the young man from Florida getting tasered and sent to jail for trying to ask Kerry questions. My question is, why didn't Carrie do or say anything? Also, why didn't any of the kids there help? If you look at the video closely, you can see some kids laughing while this is going on. What has happened in our society and country, Mike? Sandy and Palatine, I don't know. We've become a nation of sheep. Is that it? Are we just anesthetized? Are we comfortably numb or uncomfortably numb? I don't know. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Past the hour. All right, I want to get to this email. The subject line is, God damn it, Carrie. This is from Lois in Monroeville, PA. Mike, I found very little solace in yelling after the latest taser fest in Alachua County, Florida. I guess Gainesville is as redneck as I ever remembered. However, my disgust level reached an all-time high with the Gainesville, Florida incident. I viewed the video of the student, Andrew Meyer, who is in the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications. This honor student, with a copy of Armed Madhouse in his hand, asked John Kerry why he conceded the 2004 election. As I watched, I kept saying, John, you're a war hero, right? You tried to take a stand on behalf of the last soldier leaving Vietnam. What were you thinking in that auditorium? What were you doing there? Where's your mind? Was it on some holiday? Being five rows away from the incident, he couldn't have been that blind to what the police were doing. I'm betting Mr. Meyer's question is the same exact one most of us in this country have yet to hear Senator Kerry's response. If he didn't like the question, it would have been an easy one to blow off. But the Nazis got taser itch, and the zombie who won the 2004 presidential election could only stand and watch, as if it was not within his scope to see as all of our civil liberties were just going to go away, one taser at a time. I find it interesting that Kerry, when he is asked, gets mad about this question, saying he wants to look forward when the media asks him why he conceded. He'd rather look forward, not look back. Well, what the hell can a human being look forward to when the only capable person did nothing to protest his loss in a 2004 stolen election? I somehow relate to Shakespeare when he said, quote, I can easier teach 20 what were good to be done than to be one of the 20 to follow mine own teachings. John Kerry has become comfortably numb. And then the president of the University of Florida, Bernie Machen, told members of the media at a news conference today that University of Florida officials would take a number of steps following that incident. Machen said, this is a university and we want to have civil discourse. The fact that it didn't occur is as troubling to me as it is to our students. The president of the university said that two university police department officers involved have been put on paid administrative leave pending an investigation. He also said he asked the state attorney's office to act expeditiously in deciding whether to bring any charges in the incident. And he also, the latest news I heard, that the President Machen has asked for an independent investigation. Jesus, God, tasered? What the hell? You know what it is? All of a sudden, it's occurred over a number of years. The police in this country, for whatever reason, if I were a cop, maybe I feel it were justified. I don't know. I'm not a cop. They have become thoroughly militarized, and the ones that have not have developed an attitude that is you know, rather than try to defuse the situation, I'll just bludgeon the son of a bitch, or I'll taser him, or I'll, you know, I'll put a chokehold on him. How many people have died of these taser things? A couple of hundred since they've been used? I mean, what is it? This is not mumbly peg. This is a weapon. But this militarization of various police forces, every time a little package, an unidentified stuffed bunny, is found in the street, for Christ's sake, they bring out the SWAT team, the special operations team, the bomb squad. All these guys come out dressed like they're ready to go to battle on Mars. And you think to yourself, what the hell is going on? What's in the bunny? A nuclear weapon? If it is, all you guys are dead anyway. The militarization of local police forces. Every time there's a domestic dispute here in Atlanta, the Atlanta metro area, you know, some jackass goes nuts, runs his wife and kids out of the house, and barricades himself with a gun. You know, just him. And he's inside. Here they come. Here comes the goon squad. Here come people in tanks and armored personnel carriers and Jesus. Because somebody's in a house with a gun, screaming obscenities. The militarization of the police force and the attitude that's developed in this country that, hey, we're going to be law and order. First Amendment, my ass. What are you talking about? Fifth Amendment. Shut up, boy. Get in the back of that van. You're going to jail. What did I do? You're standing there. You're not in the First Amendment zone. You little creep. You little peace creep. You little snot. I'm the law. Well, you know, what is that? Is that necessary? Are we that close to a breakdown in law and order in this country? We can't even get 500,000 people together for a demonstration, for Christ's sake. So what are they going to do? Start tasering people who want to ask John Kerry some very serious head-on questions? The quick answer? Yeah, you bet. You bet we are. All right, if you want to talk about the taser incident, just stay on hold. I have a guest here for the next segment. She's running for... We talked to her. You heard me talk to her. Invite her on the program. She's running for elective office in Pinellas County, Florida. Not too far from Gainesville. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay tonight. Forget your perfect offering. Before the hour. Her name is Sam Simpson. You may have heard her call this program a couple of times. She's running for Congress in the Florida 10th. She's a very young grandmother from Pinellas County, Florida. She ran for Congress in 2006 against a man who's been in office for 36 years, Bill Young. Young is a Republican who was chairman of the Appropriations Committee from 1999 to 2000, and in that role was responsible for every single dollar spent on this illegal and immoral war. I want you to visit her website and scroll down when you get there to the last blog she wrote. I think is like September the 4th, I think, is the last one that she has up there. Yeah, September 4th. And I want you to read that blog, especially down where she talks about the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, and what he said about Israel. I just want you to just you know, do it. It's Sam Simpson. There's two M's in her name. Sam Simpson for Congress.com. And Sam joins us from, I guess, from Pinellas County, right? Is that where you are tonight, Sam?
That's right. I'm right in Dunedin, which is in between Palm Harbor, Largo, Seminole, St. Pete, and Tampa.
I'm very familiar with Florida's West Coast, trust me. So how's it going since we last spoke, which was, a couple of months ago, 6 weeks ago?
Well, I try to call you every once in a while, Mike, because I love your program. I'm so grateful for your voice, for Kathy's voice, and for your entire program. I just so appreciate your bold stance and speaking truth to power. I think we probably spoke a couple of weeks ago because it was shortly after Bush had been speaking. And I think I called to let you know that he had already given his approval for military action against Iran in one of those speeches he made. But how is it going? I'll tell you what, it's tragic, as you well know. I spend time grieving, praying, reading. I'm a voracious reader, and I haven't watched TV for about 10 years. And just in the last couple of months, I've come across a couple of really tremendous books and articles just in the last couple of weeks. For example, the Vanity Fair article on billions over Baghdad, where it talks about, you know, that missing $9 billion we've heard about all these years with the EPA.
Yeah. Astonishing.
Right. Well, what's even more astonishing, and I didn't know this, was that the whole CPA was created not by Congress. It was created by Tommy Franks in the Pentagon. And so it doesn't have any legal grounds for us to do anything about it.
And, of
course, Bremer, as he left, made every single person there as a contractor immunize them from anything wrong.
Yeah, and that's very important given what's happened with Blackwater in the past few days and the attempt by Maliki to get them out of the country, which I understand is not going to happen.
Well, you know, that this is really the crux of the biscuit here. We're occupying that country. As a matter of fact, there's a book called The Belly of the Green Bird by Nir Rosen. And I have to read this to you because this is another mind-blowing thing. Go back to 2003. Now, those of us who probably had, when the President of the United States was awarded the presidency by the Supreme Court, we knew we were in trouble.
Yes, we did.
We knew we were in trouble, but then when, obviously, all the lies about the aluminum tubes, and those of us who were reading and researching who knew this war was a lie, but in 2003, in June, the CPA was meeting with all the tribal leaders of the religious and ethnic groups. And this was back in 2003 when people actually thought, you know what, maybe the U.S. is going to do something right, you know. And there was a political advisor to Paul Bremer, and he was speaking in Arabic. And he was speaking to all Shia, Sunni, all kinds of folks. And he was asked, he said, is this a liberation or is this an occupation? And this man responded to these sheikhs and tribal leaders, well, it was somewhere in between an occupier and a liberator. And most of them left from that moment on.
Well,
and that's in the book In the Belly of the Green Bird by Nir Rosen. And how's it going as far as the campaign? We're really now just getting started. I'm looking for all kind of support and, I've had, as a single parent for a long time, my family's been touched by some grief. My family's been touched by some things this country doesn't care about, because this country is more concerned about global warfare, keeping the military, keeping all the elites rich, making sure Lockheed Martin has lots of money, Bechtel. We're not concerned about the middle class or the people who are suffering anywhere. And I have a real heart for the broken and hearted.
When you've experienced intense moments in your own life, it should make a person more compassionate. I'm left with the thought that, or the sense that no Republican has ever experienced anything other than blind, straight-ahead greed because they all seem so heartless. What's the deal with Nelson? Is he running again?
Well, there's Bill Nelson is the senator. Bill Young is the congressman.
I'm sorry, Young.
That's okay.
Bad.
Bill Nelson voted against habeas corpus too. I mean, Bill,
right.
You know, a lot of the Democrats. At this point, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, it doesn't really matter. We need to be human beings and Americans.
I hear that.
But as far as Mr. Young is concerned, there's a real question mark about whether he's running or not. There's a lot of Republicans that are saying they're not running anymore. I believe Mr. Young will run, because I think he's saving it for his son, who will be 25 in 2010. And I hold Mr. Young, responsible. I mean, he was the head of the Appropriations Committee between 1999 and 2005. In your introduction, you're absolutely right. Every single dollar that went for this illegal war, every single supplemental, he approved.
Mm-hmm.
And after Fallujah happened and those four Blackwater guys were hung from the bridge,
yes,
and they went into a PR campaign, they flew through the halls of Congress, and, of course, they met with Mr. Young and came out with a $300 million contract.
Yeah, gee.
Yeah.
I wonder how that happened.
I got to tell you, Mike, I am so in a line with you and with your heart and with your desire for the criminals to be taken out and for, you know, some sense of a restoral of truth and justice in this country. I mean, this is not something that's going to be fixed in 2 years by one election. This is a 50 to 60 to 70 year process.
It is. The damage that's been done is so deep and so wide that it's going to take, you know, long after you and I are nothing but memories.
You're absolutely right.
People are going to have to keep struggling with this. Do you have to get through a primary, or don't you know yet?
Well, I'm not sure yet. Last year, very few people in the past 36 years have decided to take Mr. Young on.
Right.
For me, I didn't really have a choice. I just felt absolutely, I heard a voice. It said, run for Congress. I said, gee, how do you do that? I mean, that's how much I knew. If there's a primary, there could be, but there hasn't been anyone really announced yet. I intend to get on the ballot with petitions, as we did in 2006. I was the first candidate in the history of Pinellas County to get on the ballot for a federal ballot with petitions. Otherwise, you got to pay almost $10,000.
Yeah, well, that alone is remarkable, and that's one of the reasons that I hope that the people who listen to this program. And I'm talking to you right now, Truth Seeker. Go visit this woman's website. Now, we talk about all the time about how bizarre it is out there and how the struggle and yada yada. But I'm telling you, go to her website. It's Sam with two M's. SamSimpsonForCongress.com. Read what's there. Read what this candidate has written, and then respond. Damn it, respond. It's going to take some money. We all know this. That's just where we are. Pinellas County is not a bastion of liberalism by any means. On the other hand, there's an awful lot of retirees who live on the west coast of Florida who may just be a little bit concerned about what this Bush administration is doing and has done, the joke of this Medicare prescription benefit, all this stuff. So Sam Simpson has a chance here, but it's going to take in her district, it's going to take organization, people are willing to work. For people listening to this program in Oregon, for heaven's sake, send some money. I mean, that's all. That's all I'm asking you to do. And I know I'm always asking for money, but not really. But I just want you to check out Sam Simpson's website.
Well, you know what drives me, Mike, is the same thing that drives you, and the same thing that drives people that listen to your program. We want the truth. We want to know what's up. We want the leaders to tell us the truth. We want to discover the truth. We want some sense of we want a sense of honor and dignity and justice and moral compassion. Whether or not that is ensconced in our Constitution, the ideal of these things are ensconced in our Constitution. There's no human being that's perfect. I mean, there's no human being that can be all or do all. Well, I happen to believe I'm a Christian. I happen to believe Jesus Christ is perfect. I believe me, I reject George Bush's idea of whatever it is he believes.
I hear you.
It is absolutely unconscionable. The man is a criminal. He's a war criminal.
Well, I want to see something happen in your campaign, Sam. I really do. And we're going to have to leave it there. But Kathy will be in touch. Let's talk about every 2-3 months here and just give us an update, and we'll kind of push because it's going to take contributions from around the country, and it's going to take workers right there in your district. Sam, thank you. I appreciate your courage, and I respect what you're doing. And we're going to try to help as much as we can, okay?
Thank you, Mike. Right back at you.
All right, Sam. Take care. Take care. Sam Simpson is her name. Go to her website, please. SamSimpsonForCongress.com. Two M's in her first name. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. Visit Sam Simpson's website, if you would. I really hope you do. I want to get back to this taser incident for just a little longer, and I want to get your phone calls, those of you who have called in about the taser incident. This is from Leslie in Allentown, PA, who writes... Hey, Mike, you know what makes me most sick about this whole taser incident? It isn't just seeing John Kerry standing there and saying nothing, but also those other students sitting there, doing nothing, saying nothing, and numb. They didn't even seem to hear the point the student's trying to make. A bunch of deadheads. The only reaction those kids seemed to have was to laugh like hyenas at the poor guy being hurt. Our society is broken. We've lost something, Mike. I hope we can someday get it back. I miss the America I remember growing up in. This isn't it. This is not it. Leslie in Allentown, PA. And a couple of you sent me a statement, one paragraph statement on Kerry's website. The statement was issued today in response to what happened to the student. Kerry writes, quote, in 37 years of public appearances through wars, protests, and highly emotional events, I've never had a dialogue end this way. I believe I could have handled the situation without interruption, but I do not know what warnings or other exchanges transpired between the young man and the police prior to his barging to the front of the line and their intervention. I asked the police to allow me to answer the question and was in the process of responding when he was taken into custody. I was not aware that a taser was used until after I left the building. I hope that neither the student nor any of the police were injured. I regret enormously that a good, healthy discussion was interrupted. End quote. Oh, for crap. Oh, my God. You didn't know what was going on, right, John? You asked the police to allow you to answer the question? What? Really? Okay. He says he believes he could have handled the situation without interruption. But, the first question that comes to mind for me... This is the guy who made the statement about being the last soldier in Vietnam to die for a mistake and how powerful that statement was. This is a guy who's seen combat, I think. I guess. You don't suppose the Swift Boat thugs were right, do you? This is a guy who didn't even have the decency to declare himself defeated by George Bush. He sent John Edwards out to do it, didn't he? I mean, I don't even remember anymore. I don't even care anymore. But he is a sitting United States senator. And it just seems to me that at the very least, Senator Kerry could have shrieked into the microphone to these rent-a-cops, these punk-asses on this campus, to back off and let the student have his say. What the hell is a student going to do, John? Embarrass you with his questions? You could have blown off his questions. You know you could have, like you've blown everybody else off ever since he had your ass handed to you in the 2004 election. I'm so sick of these Democrats. I am so sick of these Democrats. What could he have done? Well, I didn't see anything. I didn't know anything. I didn't know he was being tasered. Pass the ketchup. I don't know what you're talking about. What, where, when, how, who, huh? I'm just here to... look important.
No ketchup. That would be Swiss cheese. Remember, Swiss.
Oh yeah. Okay. Did you see the now? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here, but the video, if I remember the video, I just looked at it this morning, looked at it yesterday. These blank-eyed campus cops, I think a couple were women, a couple were men. I don't even know. All I remember is the kind of sluggish, drone-like attitude. Four, six cops in a room where a senator is having discussion ostensibly with college students? Is the security at the University of Florida so porous as it Mr. Kerry thinks he or the university administration thinks he has to be protected to that extent? It's kind of disgusted, right? And then did you hear this one about the woman who was arrested for not watering her lawn? Did you did you see this? A widow and grandma spent the morning in jail. This is in Orem. Where's that? In Utah? She was arrested for refusing to give a policeman her name when he tried writing her a ticket for failing to water her yard. She hasn't watered her lawn in more than a year, and the condition of her yard violates an Orem zoning ordinance. The woman said, now this is a month ago, the woman says she's traumatized and shocked that she was hauled to jail because she can't afford to water her lawn. Her name is Betty Perry. She said, I never thought they would ever do anything like this to a 70-year-old person. I've never bothered anybody. I've never hurt anybody. She says the cops who brought her home tonight were very courteous. He even held the door for her after she got out of jail. But there were no gentlemen there when she was taken from her home that morning and booked into jail. When she heard a knock at her door and saw a cop standing outside, she never imagined she would end up in jail, but that's what happened. She said, I didn't want to tell him anything until I talked to a lawyer and my son. I wanted to see what he'd tell me to do. I never had any experience before with the law ever in my life. As the officer started writing her a ticket, she tried going back in her house. That's when the officer tried to handcuff her for refusing to give her name and resisting the ticket. She tripped on the steps, scraped up her nose and elbows, leaving blood on her door, her porch, and her clothes. She was handcuffed. Son of a bitch! Fingerprinted and put in a jail cell where she sat for about an hour. She said, I laid down in there. I've never seen the inside of a jail before. I didn't know how it looked. I was really scared. When police brass learned what happened, she was immediately released. And then they issued a statement, yada, yada, how'd this happen, blah, blah, blah. The officer was sent home for the day and placed on administration leave. You know, I don't care about that. What kind of a cop is going to grab a 70-year-old woman for resisting a ticket? I'll tell you who. This is becoming more and more typical. I don't want to get into a fight with police officers. I got police officers in my family. But this is what happened in the 60s and 70s, and that's why they wound up with the name Pig. Welcome back, 6:30 past the hour. James Risser, who writes a lot at Daily Coast and other places, posted something regarding the incident at the University of Florida under the subhead, I Call BS. He says... In the good senator's one-paragraph response on his website today, the answers to the question that the student wanted to ask are absent. Hey, the kid got tasered and could have died trying to get answers to his questions. The least you could do is answer them. I believe they were, why did Kerry throw in the towel? Check that. Have Edwards throw in the towel in 2004? Is there any personal reason having to do with a, quote, special relationship, end quote, with George Bush that Kerry has not been vocal regarding impeachment? Was Senator Kerry in Skull and Bones at Yale? And if the answer is yes, does that require that he treat other members, in other words, the Bush crime family, with special care? These three questions could be answered by the good senator, and you could the diary could be updated accordingly. He's writing to someone else at Daily Kos. Alternatively, Senator Kerry could write a diary of his own answering the three questions. It would only take a few moments. And then Risser also sent me this. At Huffington Post, I believe today, Naomi Wolf on the tasering. It's a longer article, but here's just a couple of sentences. Naomi Wolf writes, "It is an iconic turning point, and it will be remembered as the moment at which America either fought back or yielded. This violence against a student is different from violence against protesters in the anti-war movement of 30 years ago because of the power the president has now to imprison innocent U.S. citizens for months in isolation. And because, as I've explained elsewhere, we are not now in a situation in which the pendulum can easily swing back. The taser was directed at the body of a young man, but it is we, ourselves, and our Constitution who received the full force of the shock." Naomi Wolf writing at Huffington Post today. All right, let's... Yes.
I'm surprised Fox didn't taser Sally Field. They just faded to black. But
you're fading to black.
Oh,
no, you're not there, kiddo. Your microphone is just not working. All right, let's get a couple of phone calls in on that particular subject. Will is calling from Michigan, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Kerry asked the cops if he could be allowed to answer the questions.
Oh, no,
excuse me. He's duty bound by an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and he sat there and watched them violate the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the Eighth Amendment.
Well, this is Bush's America, Will.
I am ashamed to say I served in the same Navy with Kerry.
Yeah.
He should have spoke up.
Yeah, he should have. I mean, he didn't have to go to war with the campus police. He could have said, everybody just take a deep breath for a second. But I have a feeling that there might have been some relief on Kerry's part because the student was asking the sort of question that Kerry simply doesn't want to answer. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, Will. I'm just getting, I don't know, I'm getting so over it. Will, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Don is calling from Fort Lauderdale, listening on WINZ Radio. Hey, Don, welcome to the program.
Mike Malloy, how you doing? It's going to be frustrating, isn't it? You see these stories from day to day, and it's every day now. I mean, you got to just wonder, am I on the wrong planet? What's going on here? I agree with everything that you've been saying the last hour or so. The tasering of that kid at the John Kerry speech was just horrifying. He should and probably will sue those campus cops. But, you know, this whole idea of severely limiting free speech became the norm and acceptable when this administration began. That's when we first heard the words free speech zone.
Yeah, that's,
I thought this country was supposed to be a free speech zone.
Yeah, well, at one time, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, during the 2004 Bush rallies, only verified Republicans were allowed in. You had to prove that you were not the enemy.
That's right. And the enemy was any American who wasn't a Bush sucker, which is astonishing when you think about it.
Yeah, I went to a John Kerry rally not far from my house that year, and nobody checked anything. They checked for weapons, of course, but nobody asked if I was a Democrat. I didn't have to show my voter registration card. But I know you got a lot of calls. I just wanted to give you some good news. If you like those great liberal columnists like Maureen Dowd, Frank Rich, and all the rest that are in the New York Times, effective immediately, I don't know if you know this because I didn't see it too much on the news, the New York Times, effective right now, will eliminate that Times Select subscription service that you needed to pay to be able to read columnists like Maureen Dowd and Frank Rich and the rest of them. All of those sections, those articles, and a lot of archived areas of the Times are open to all web readers beginning right now.
So there's no subscription fee anymore?
No, it used to be if you clicked on the Maureen Dowd, if you saw that a tantalizing headline and you wanted to read it, you'd see like two sentences and then it would tell you you had to subscribe.
Yeah, that is good news.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a subscriber to the Times, so I automatically had access. I subscribed to the newspaper, so I automatically had access to that.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was kind of cheesy for a newspaper to do that. I mean, a newspaper I don't know anymore. I don't know what's cheesy. I don't know what is not cheesy. I'm glad to hear it. Thanks for the good news, huh?
Well, thank you. Thanks,
all right,
thanks,
Don. All right, Don. Thanks. Take care. Flo is calling from Sunrise, Florida, also listening on WINZ. Hey, Flo.
Mike?
Yes, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, well, I live about 10 minutes from where the tasering took place, so
Oh, really?
Wanted to call in and just say I was pretty disgusted. But I'm disgusted about a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
I've been listening to you for a long time, and your fervor's kind of gone down. Are you getting kind of just sick of the whole thing like I am? I mean, is it the $4 trillion deficit? Cops above the law.
I think it might be the new blood pressure medicine I'm taking. No, I'm not. The fervor, the ardor, the anger, the rage has not gone down at all. It's a little
more subdued, I guess.
Well, I guess I'm starting to realize that raging is not the most effective way to. I mean, it's about the only thing some of us can do right now is keep the rage alive, so to speak. But come the next election cycle, we have got to throw this gang out and put the other gang in. We got to get rid of the killers and put in the bandits. Get rid of the Republicans, put in the Democrats, and then slowly pick off the Democrats one at a time until we have some real progressives in office. So I guess that's where I'm at. I brought something up a couple of months ago about rage fatigue and got probably 700 emails about it. It was just enormous, the response I got from people who share the same feeling. Like, it just you get tired of being angry, you know?
Well, I'm not, in a rage, but I'm just mad. There's just too much going on.
I know.
And no one pays attention to it. Like, I really don't care about O.J. Simpson.
he can
rot in a jail cell.
Oh my God! You don't care about what's wrong with you, Flo?
I don't care about him. What I do care about. It's funny you had that Pensacola woman on with her. I believe her campaign or whatever.
Pinellas County.
Attorney was busted from Pensacola.
No, wait. No, she's from Pinellas County.
Oh, okay.
St. Pete, Clearwater, Dunedin, that area, not
but
Pensacola.
But it's still the west coast of Florida.
It is that. Hey, Flo, take it easy. Okay. I would imagine in Sunrise, Florida, it's a lot of fun to sit on the back porch and watch the armadillos run across the scrub pines, right?
Yeah, we do that, and then we wait for the roadkill pie.
Oh, God. Take care, Flo. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
21 past the hour. A good friend out in Oregon who designs, who does incredible art. You can see his art at fairywoodland.com. Fairywoodland.com. John writes, I was principal public events manager for a major university in the 60s and 70s, which meant being in charge of everything from Grateful Dead concerts to talks by Haile Selassie, Stokely Carmichael, Vice President Humphrey, Martin Luther King, etc. We had protests at classical music concerts, mass rallies in the free speech area on campus, takeovers of the administration building, you name it. It was never necessary for us to resort to physical restraint to prevent people from protesting, never mind simply asking questions. I should inject that we never used sworn personnel, in other words, police officers, as event staff, since they are sworn to arrest lawbreakers whenever and wherever they find them, which is often wholly inappropriate. If this event had happened at our university, first of all, the police would never have been there. House staff would have been handling the microphone, not event staff. And the person would have been informed that he had been allowed to ask his question, and would he please give back the microphone or hand the microphone to the next person in line. If he refused to do so, we simply would have turned off the microphone and informed the person that if he wished to create a scene as part of his protest, we would call the cops, if that's what he wanted. Otherwise, would he please leave the area and allow the event to continue? This process was often accomplished by one of the most vulnerable appearing members of our staff. There would always be the backup of additional staff nearby, and we allowed the fact that there was a protest going on to be seen by the public without embarrassment or implied criticism of the protester. We always saw ourselves as supportive of the protesters, as well as the speaker. It seems to me that today, any event is seen as an adversarial situation. There's no room for discussion or civil discourse. The cops have been taught that anyone who challenges or disagrees with authority is a terrorist and belongs in a detention camp somewhere being questioned by Blackwater operatives. I'm sick, Mike. The gulf between the power elite and the rest of us is becoming a gaping black hole, sucking up our liberties at lightning speed. Yeah. Thanks, John. That's the heart of this issue. It is. And all of you who have written in from all over the country about this, I couldn't begin to read all of your emails on the program tonight. You know, focusing on the fact that a student, you know, it used to be that weren't there two places that people were safe to voice their opinions? They were safe from the authorities, the churches and the universities. And if not the churches, you know, well, not the synagogues, because if somebody spoke in a synagogue and it was in a country where they didn't like the Jews, they would just come in and burn the synagogue. But you know what I'm talking about, right? There used to be the belief, the idea, the theory, what? That if you were speaking in a house of worship, how's that? Or on a university campus, you had some sort of a buffer zone. Maybe the house of worship part was just sanctuary, and the university was, I guess that was it. The university was the place where you could declare your beliefs and make your statements without fear of, you might get shouted down, you might be verbally challenged, you might be hooted at, but you wouldn't be tasered, for Christ's sake! But I can't get the image out of my mind of John Kerry. From the angle that I see the video at YouTube, which is back where the student was being beaten and held and tasered ultimately, from that angle, Kerry is a lone figure up on the stage, kind of ineffectually waving his arm at something.
And I don't understand. Kerry's not running for anything, so he doesn't have any political capital that's going to be lost. If he would have jumped off the stage and come down into the melee and just said, "Yo, everybody, stop!"
Yeah, that might have happened, huh? Maybe in some other planet. Oh, well. All right, more when we come back. We'll take some more calls about the tasered, five people who are on hold. We'll get your comments about the tasered student, then we're going to move on, because there are a couple other things. I realize it's key to a fascist takeover is this, an event like this, you know, where someone is beaten to the ground because... Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Six before the hour. All right, back to some phone calls here on this particular topic. Jen is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. You know, this has just gone too far. I do have a comment, though. When the police would taser other people, right or wrong, a lot of people didn't speak out. They didn't say, hey, you don't go around electrocuting people. And as a consequence, they've gotten happy about it, and now instead of just criminals, they'll tase anybody that they can get next to. I mean, what's next, grandma at the old folks' home? I mean, this is just, it's crazy.
Well, these thugs are also tasering pregnant women. It's just astonishing. There used to be an unwritten law in this country that the only people that got water hosed or cattle prodded or shot were black folk.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I know. It still goes on. I mean,
they're doing white people, Jen.
Yeah. But, you know, white or black, it's wrong. And, I mean,
I know.
You know, I'm hoping that people are not going to stand by and just continue to allow this because there's going to be an escalation one way or the other.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what America, the public, we become docile. We have a self-appointed president or appointed by the Supreme Court who takes us into wars nobody wants based on lies that this evil man knew were lies. And it's almost like, tell me if you don't feel this way, it's almost like we're all in some kind of collective shock. We're just kind of standing around like people who come on a scene on the expressway where there's a 9-car collision and there's broken bodies all over. And we're just standing there going, Jesus, God, what happened?
Yes, I agree with that. But at one point or another, we are going to have to wake up and do something. Otherwise, there will not be a next year or a year after or a year after that.
I hear you, Jen.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. At the risk of sounding, like a jerk, it's true. There used to be a time back in the good old days in this country where the only folks that got the force of the local cops
The only people who felt that were black folk looking for civil rights. Occasionally students demanding students' rights or an end to the war. But you know, you have to go back before the free speech movement. Mario Savio, University of California, Berkeley, Ronald Reagan, all that stuff back in, what, 62? 64? 63? It's ancient history. Almost doesn't count. But before that, here in the South, black folk who literally put their lives on the line, and so many of them were just butchered. And it was almost an understanding in the white community. Yeah, I sympathize. I hope in some of the white community, I hope they get the right to vote. But Jesus, maybe they shouldn't be marching down the street like that. But Jesus, maybe they shouldn't be trying to force their way into universities. You know, give it a chance. Wait until the laws are passed. And you know, I'm reminded of what Adam Kokesh said: when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And now, not just now, but you know what I'm talking about. Now, white people, students, who dare ask questions, are being tasered. Back to your calls. Ted is calling from California, listening on the internet. Hey, Ted.
Hi, good evening, Mike.
Hi.
To point out the incident itself and the let's go back over that a little more carefully. People are just, you know, in, like you said, in shock, no pun intended, that this young man was brought down by these guns, these campus security guns. Is it because, I asked a rhetorical question, was it because of the content of what he was saying or the method that he approached the microphone and listened to what Kerry was saying before he was interrupted? He was going, trying to pose like Kennedy-esque, and I'm a diehard Democrat. I voted for McGovern my first in 72.
Uh-huh.
But my point is this. He was kind of posing, getting boring, and a young journalism student, and I was one at the University of Iowa, in Iowa City myself, jumped up and said, wait a minute. I just read this book. I'm 22 years old, and you won, and you lied to a lot of Democrats, Mr. Kerry. In other words, he was implying.
Mm-hmm.
So, challenge every vote, and remember, and he pointed to Al Gore's fundraiser the summer of 04 and said, Al Gore, we Democrats, forget the Republicans, we know what they are, they're scum, but we Democrats, you know, we're going to count every vote in Florida and every other state. And Howard Dean said, you know, we're not going to let this happen to us again, and that's why we took a leap of faith with Mr. Kerry. And the unanswered questions are what of the Bush era are infuriating. We want answers. We don't want to just take George Bush or Kerry's word for things. We don't trust either. I think a lot of people don't trust either one of them.
Right.
And that's what was going on there. And if you listen to what Mr. Myers said, the kid that was arrested, he goes, real clear. He goes, he spoke for 2 hours. Now let's move on. You know, can I get a word in?
Mm-hmm.
And then the goons came on him, you know, and then these sphinxes, your caller from Sacramento said, these campus thinks, you know, just move in on them. And I am 100% behind this kid. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call the Florida authorities in the morning when they open and tell them that, you know, I think Kerry, I just sent him a note, he should pay his bail. He should have interrupted. He said he was from the 60s during his campaign, remember?
Sure.
Well, it must have been deja vu all over again for this guy, because here's this kid hitting the mats like, as you said, nobody... Yeah, in the early 1970s, when I was first entered college, nobody would have hit the mat like that. No way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Like a WWF on this guy. I mean, they just did him in. And, you know, maybe you can give me your reaction on what, you know, is it the content or what he was saying? I mean,
I have a suspicion that it has less to do with content and more to do with a Nazi-like power that is seeping through this society among people who are given any position of power whatsoever. You know, that kid could have been standing there telling Kerry to go F himself, or he could have been standing there talking about how isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? I don't think what he was saying mattered. I think the fact that he was out of order in the minds of these campus police, he was out of order. He may have gone beyond the two-question limit or whatever the hell he, whatever the limit was that he transgressed beyond. And like Pavlov's dogs, the cop mentality, thanks to Bush, and thanks to the fact that so many police departments now are so thoroughly understaffed, no wonder they have to militarize. Bush has cut the cops program, cut policing programs, forced police departments to fall back on assets they don't have. So, you know, once again, we're back to this point where I'm not defending these cops, but you get back to the point where maybe if you get inside their heads a little bit, maybe they feel threatened, like not physically threatened, but that their power is being threatened, their authority is being threatened. So what do they do? Being trained the way they are, and I realize they are not city or county police. These, I don't know what the training is, what University of Florida puts them through, if they hire them away from city police departments, I have no idea. But it seems to me the stink of this whole thing comes from the fact that if a cop or an authority or Blackwater or a military patrol gets a sense that the power is not being respected or making the person fearful, well, then it's time to bring out the taser or the waterboard or the automatic fire indiscriminately into somebody's bedroom or the SWAT team or take the guy down for no reason other than the power, the authority is being questioned. And I think I lay this right at Bush's feet. He has turned this into as close to a dictatorship as we can get without an actual dictatorship in place. We are so close. And I think that seeps its way through the power structure all the way down. I think corporate heads use that kind of a power play now. I think insurance companies use that kind of a power play. God knows the mortgage industry does. Why shouldn't rent-a-cops? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it was like, you know, you little squirm, how dare you talk to a U.S. senator who, you know, in that tone, you little viper, you know, we're going to take care of you, take you down.
You're
right. That's the way we're treated now.
All right, I got to leave it there. Thanks, Ted. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll talk again. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls on this student who was tasered at University of Florida, Gainesville. Bob is calling from Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Oh, I'm so upset. Listen, don't forget. It happened to us in the 60s. Don't forget Miami and Chicago at the convention.
Well, that's true, but that, you know, I mean... That,
Columbia that was, University, Mike.
Yeah, well,
they brought
okay.
in the troopers.
Well, they did indeed, but did any of that occur, and I'm not trying to minimize any of it, did any of it occur in a lecture hall while somebody was involved in a Q&A session, a United States senator?
No, you're absolutely right. This is horrid. This is terrible. He spoke for a minute and 42 seconds. He had Greg Palast's book, Armed Madhouse. He
That's
was
right.
talking about Ohio, and when he mentioned Skull and Bones, there you'll see a suit back in the corner do a slice across the throat to say cut the mic, and the cops moved in.
You're kidding me. I must have missed that. I'm going to have to look at that video again. Ah, these sons of bitches.
Let me tell you, though, about another campus event.
Okay.
Jenna, Mississippi. Louisiana. I think they pronounce it Gina, but I think it's spelled Jenna.
Right, right.
Some white students had kind of staked out a particular tree on campus.
Right.
And were excluding others from it.
Mm-hmm.
And some black students went there and sat under the tree. The next day, some nooses were hung from the tree.
Right.
So, the following day, a confrontation ensued. The white students were not suspended, disciplined in any way, but the black students were suspended and arrested.
Right.
And Michael Bell, one of the students, has extremely high bail. This is deterioration, you know.
Now, it's my understanding, though, that the judge in that case has dismissed all the charges against Michael Bell, and other than the I may be wrong here, but other than the ugliness that this produced and the hurt feelings, the legal aspect of it is now over. I think that's the last thing. I've been following that story myself. I believe that's what I've read. But I think what that story points up is that, you know, it's okay in the age of Bush to be a little Nazi redneck bastard. I don't care, you know, where you live. You could be here in the South where this occurred. It could be up north. It could be out west. It could be any place. It's okay to be a little skinhead, nasty ass little Nazi because George Bush says it is. It's okay.
That's right. That's
It's okay to bash minorities, especially the Mexicans. It's okay to bash women who wear scarves over their head because obviously they are not Christian, and on and on and on and on.
Really?
Now, you know, so that's what Bush has unleashed, the same thing that Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan made it okay. Don't forget where Reagan announced his presidency, Philadelphia, Mississippi.
That's right. That's right.
Don't and what
who
could,
he was in the 60s.
That's
either.
Right. That's right. What could be more blatant? What could be more degenerate than that crazy old bastard going to Philadelphia, Mississippi, where three civil rights workers were brutally butchered and hidden in an earthen dam, and stand there and announce his candidacy talking about states' rights? Holy Christ! I mean, how stupid can people be? I realize that was almost 30 years ago. We're not talking, we're talking about Bush, but Bush has done the same thing.
But these are the same people that were in Reagan's administration. These are the people from the 80s, Central America. And then when he's president, he goes to Bitburg and says the Nazi soldiers were just
victims,
part of the
victims,
equal to our soldiers.
Yeah, right. The SS, the skull, the death's head. Okay.
Yeah, and now the AP News is depicting Myers,
the kid,
as a
prankster,
as a known prankster. They're not saying anything about what he was talking about. They're not saying anything about the book or Ohio or Skull and Bones or anything. It's an ad hominem attack upon him.
Right. Just try to destroy the messenger, run the kid down. Corporate America has very much an interest here in to keep John Kerry protected from something as dangerous as real questions. You know what I'm saying?
Well, scum rises to the top, and a fish rots from the head down, and that's what we got.
I hear you. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. All right. Who else we got here? Edie. Edie is calling from Montgomery, Alabama, listening on the Internet. Hey, Edie.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Well, your callers and you have touched on things that I was thinking of, like poor white people, and there are some poor white people in this country, and people of color get tasered and shot every day, and we don't hear about it.
Right.
And this is a white, middle-class kid, and the worst thing he could be accused of might be a little obnoxious. I don't think you deserve to be tasered and arrested for that.
Right.
Really? I mean, what do you think?
Well, no, I agree. That's why that's why to Jen, who called in from, where'd she call from? Portland, I think, or Sacramento. You know, that's what I was saying. It used to be we only tasered or put the dogs on or water hosed black folk. And all of a sudden, you know, when white people start getting, especially middle class white students, and I realize, like Bob just said, you know, we have been through this. I understand that. We went through the CIA spying on Americans back in the 70s. That's why we had the Church Committee. That's why we passed the FISA laws. Yep. But here we are again. Everything has been, you know, history repeats itself first as farce and then as tragedy. And that's what we're going through. And I just... I don't know.
I know. And you were talking about the fact that the cops, we don't have as many cops as we did under Clinton. Well, a lot of those guys belonged to the reserves.
And yeah, they're over dying for George Bush and oil.
Well, thank you, Mike.
All right, Edie, thanks. Bye-bye. Take care. We'll talk again. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. It is 7 past the hour. Yeah, CNN is reporting now that they're investigating the student involved in the taser incident. It says two University of Florida police officers were placed on leave with pay after using an electronic stun gun to subdue a student who was questioning Senator John Kerry. But the student's behavior and past activities are prompting questions about whether the incident was part of a stunt. Yeah. All right, back to your phone calls. We'll take a few more calls on this, and there's a couple other things I do want to get on to here. Icy is calling from Las Vegas, listening on the Internet. Hey, Icy.
Icy. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am fine. I am about wilting, waiting for you to pick up the phone.
I know.
You know.
It's awful.
I know. I'm waiting. I got to cook dinner, you know, for John. And you've talked to my husband.
Oh, I see. John Neems.
Yes.
Wild Sky.
I've been holding on.
The musician.
Yes.
John.
And
all
thank
right.
you for playing his song.
Oh, sure.
And stuff. I appreciate that.
Sure,
and I just want to say love to you, Kathy, and Molly.
Well, thank you. It's very kind.
And stuff. But it's like I've been waiting. I've been putting dinner off. John is hollering at me. You know, because he has not eaten.
Tell him to sit down and shut up.
I'm trying to talk to Mike. This is my first time calling.
I know it is.
But I am incensed about this student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was tasered.
Sure.
It's like, oh, he was prepared and he had too many questions.
You're right.
Yeah. It's like, what is going on with the world today?
Welcome to Fascistan.
I know. And it's like, you know, and then you had the students that were just like, he just needs to sit down and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, please. You know, so I'm just incensed about this. And I hope he sues them. Because his hands were up.
Yeah.
His hands were up.
Right.
And stuff. So I'm incensed about this, and that's why I have held on the line for as long as I have. You know, because I'm saying his hands are up. He's in submission.
Uh-huh.
So why are you doing this to him? Because he had his questions prepared? and he had it rabbit to where, you know, he wanted the Kerry to answer.
Yeah, well, I think it was Bob who pointed out that when the questions got around to why Kerry did not, I think it was the question about why he didn't challenge the Florida election, or why was there any connection between Skull and Bones? And, you know, at that point, apparently, I didn't see this. I'm going to go back and look at the video. Somebody in the corner who was with Kerry's staff did that little, you know, finger across the throat thing, like, you know, cut off his microphone. So I don't know. There's too much weirdness going on here. There's way too much weirdness. I don't know what to think. I don't know if Kerry is like a lot of my non-Democrat friends. Some of my friends who are more on the political spectrum towards anarchy have been trying to tell me for a long time, don't be a fool, Malloy. Kerry is nothing but Bush light, or maybe Bush heavy. Watch out, watch out, watch out.
And so, I'm not trying to cut you off, Mike, because I love you. You know, and it's like, you believe me, I usually don't call in.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's like, this moved me to call in because, you know, I listen. You know, and I was in talk radio, you know, and I did talk radio myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in L.A., and I did it here in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. And then, you know, they took me off the air because I wanted to find the truth.
There you go.
You know, and then they cut you off.
That's
and
right.
Stuff. But with Kerry, it seems like every time that everything gets heated, he falls on his Skull and Bones. You know, sword. I have no respect for him.
I hear you.
You know, and I'm wondering, even with Hillary and Obama, you know, I'm wondering about Obama and where his allegiance is.
You know, he's never been to Washington except as a first term senator. You know, he made his bones in Illinois politics, which is which can be pretty grim.
Yeah.
If anybody, you know, I don't know Barack Obama from Adam's housecat, but if anybody is so far untainted by the weirdness, it would probably be Barack
and
Obama.
And Hillary, I don't have any respect for. You know, but Kerry, he falls on the sword. Every time you turn around, he falls on the sword.
I hear you.
You know, and stuff. So it's like, darling, you know, I just wanted to say love, you know, and it's like I stayed on this phone, got disconnected, called back again, and stuff. But I just want to say love to you, Kathy, and Molly.
Thanks.
You know, and stuff. And I just want to say that I hate this, or what they did to the suit.
I hope
he sues the pants off them.
I hear you, I see. Thanks a lot for checking in.
You take care.
Say hi to John.
I will.
Time for supper now, I see. Yeah, when you do that, Kathy, I just get, you know, I get crazy when you don't fix my dinner. Right?
Well, when does that ever happen?
It was very uncomfortable for me to look at that video and see the students who were kind of shocked. Now, I realize these are students. I realize, and maybe a lot of them were, you know, young, 18, 19 years old. And that means something. It really does. It means something to be 18 in 2007 is different from being 18 in 1967, 40 years ago. It is. It just is. It just is different. So, It is not too difficult to understand why the students were immobilized, or why some of them, maybe out of panic or nervousness or not knowing what to do, giggled and laughed and hooted and said, sit down and shut up. And why some of the rest of them just sat there like sheep. But when I watched that video, it reminded me, and I've told the story before, and I'm not going to tell the whole thing again, but it reminded me the one time that I went to a slaughterhouse, a Swift & Company slaughterhouse down here in Moultrie, Georgia. And I went there with a couple of friends at night because the one friend who lived in Moultrie, he had a part-time job hauling away what was left after Swift & Company reduced these hogs to nothing but bristly, you know,
hair. That was all that was left. Everything and their hooves and stuff like that. And it was my friend's job to haul it away into landfill. God, this is a grim story. There's a lot more to it than I'm going to tell you now. But I went with him and his buddy this particular night. And as we pulled into Swift & Company at around midnight, which is when they would wash down the factory with disinfectant and get the blood and the gore out from the day's business. Out in the front yard of Swift & Company in Moultrie, Georgia, was a huge holding pen. And there must have been, 500 head of swine. These poor hogs that were going to be butchered in the morning. They weren't butchered on Tuesday, but they're going to be butchered on Wednesday. And some of them just stood there. Pigs are very, very, very intelligent. You know that. And so many of them just kind of stood there in shock because, they could hear the screaming, up at the top of that ramp. And some of them were biting each other and just going absolutely insane because they were all crowded together. But the ones that were doing nothing, just standing there, were the ones that were scary to me. It was so weird, because you knew what was going to happen to them in the morning. And I think the hogs knew too. They would have to walk up that ramp, and if they didn't, there was somebody there with a taser or a cattle prod. This is back in the day when tasers hadn't been, perfected. So someone there with a cattle prod or a hog prod sending jolts of electricity to these animals to force them to walk up that ramp and through that those hanging pieces of plastic that kind of blurred out what was going on inside. You loved him so and turn around and let him go. Then he said you better watch yourself or you're gonna get hurt yourself. Someone's gonna tell you lies, cut you down to size. Don't do me like that, don't do me like that. Well, I love you, baby, don't do me like that. Don't do me like that, don't do me like that. Someday I might need you, baby, don't do me like that. Listen to it again, you see.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour. Got an email here from Rebecca. I listened to your show on 92.1 The Mic in Madison, Wisconsin. I was in Washington, D.C. over the past weekend for the demonstration. I'm 52 and this is my first visit to D.C. I had to take this opportunity because I had to vent my anger at this administration. I returned to Madison with more anger than when I left. I was appalled at the police state the demonstrators were under. I had to take pictures of the police in riot gear standing at the Capitol building because I could not believe it. All I could wonder was, why is the government so afraid of the people? I have written to my senators, Feingold and Cole, and to my representative, Tammy Baldwin, to ask them why. Why do you hide away in your office, afraid of the people, instead of being with them? I wanted my presence at the demonstration to send a message to the Congress that we the people can get rid of them and the president if they do not work for the voting taxpayers. Just one other thing I want to mention. I was so moved at reading the great and noble words at the monuments of Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Kennedy. I was moved to tears to realize this country now has a leader who will have a blank wall as a monument because he's never said anything that was great or noble. Rebecca. All right, back to your phone calls. Victor is calling from Gainesville, Florida, the home of the University of Florida, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Victor.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Boy, I wish the show was early in the morning because I have to take my blood pressure medication after listening to you. But back to what you were talking about, before the break. I think you hit it right on the head. The law enforcement has been put on such a high pedestal in the country right now, and it was, you know, they protect us, they protect the law, that people just freeze every time something is happening, you know, when it's that is unjust. And I deal with the police and law enforcement a lot in my line of work. I'm a truck driver, so, and to me, they're nothing but a legalized mafia.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's every time, you know, somebody gets killed or somebody gets robbed, they don't care, but every time cop gets killed in a line of duty, we hear about it nonstop for weeks and months and years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They protect their own.
Yeah.
And that's basically the apparatus of oppression. And people just forget about it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Victor. I hear what you're saying. Listen, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right. Take it easy. It.
All right, you too. Drive safely. RawStory.com is reporting one of the anchors on Fox News, Greg Jarrett, said the officers should be commended for tasering the student. These sons of bitches at Fox News, I swear to God, when the lights go out, oh, my God. This thug Jarrett, obviously he's a coward. He wouldn't be working at Fox. He said, quote, he is resisting, looking at the videotape. And the videotape really doesn't lie. It speaks volumes about what's going on. The law doesn't allow you to resist police officers when they ask you to do something. Jarrett went on to say, now you may have a beef with them being there in the first place and trying to escort you out, referring to the student. You can argue that later, but when they ask you to do something, you have to do it. That's the law. Oh my God, really? Is that it, Jarrett? If they came up to you and said, take your pants off, what? That's the law! You gonna stand there, you half-brained idiot? What is with Fox News? Hey, Greg Jarrett! Get over here, boy! Take your pants off!
Okay.
Jesus, what a cesspool of ignorance and stupidity and fascism. Starting with Sean Hannity, all the way through Brillo, Billo, and the... My God, has ever there been a nest of ratty fascists than Fox News? And now they own the Wall Street Journal. God. Time to go. Evan is calling from Durham, North Carolina, listening on the internet. Hey, Evan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I was looking at the news and, looking over the news and, you know, at this point, the State Department has said that there is no more civilian travel outside the green zone. They stopped people from traveling outside the green zone because apparently it's too dangerous now.
Hey, hold on, Evan. I got to do some commercials here and we'll come back and finish up the discussion. Too dangerous outside the green zone? Oh, no. How could that be? We'll be right back. This is Nova M Radio.
Working for something that I can't touch and sometimes can't even believe in. Oh, oh. Cradled by the hands of faith, the faith that sometimes wraps around too tight. So tight. They call me free.
Do not go gently into that good night.
Rage, Rage Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. It looks like we are not going to get to all the stories. All my careful planning today, Catherine, has just been washed away tonight. Oh, well, there's always tomorrow and tomorrow, right? Evan is, we were just starting to talk with Evan right before the break. Okay, Evan, in Durham, North Carolina, where were we? The Green Zone lockdown.
Yes, the Green Zone lockdown because of the shooting incident earlier, well, first thing this week, or over the weekend, with the security, with Blackwater.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I guess, you know, they were telling us last week, of course, that everything was falling right into place, and then now, I guess, it's the bottom has fell out. Because if they go outside that green zone, apparently they're going to have real issues.
Yeah, for real. And most of them will be right behind a 30 caliber bullet heading right for their heart. What part of what you saw in Petraeus' testimony did you really believe?
Right.
None of it. This is the craziness. Petraeus or Bush or the Ambassador Crocker or the cyborg Cheney, these people can get out there and talk about, or this freak Mitch McConnell, they can talk about how everything is going swimmingly over there, McCain, and yet report after report, the daily news every single day. And Americans, I mean, what are Americans doing? Are they believing what they're seeing and hearing from the site, from the scene of the crime? Or are they believing what Bush and Cheney and McCain and all these other freaks are saying?
I think they're believing what is being told to them,
right,
about civil disobedience in Iraq, the same way they're believing what is being told to them about civil disobedience at this University of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's civil disobedience on both sides. And, you know, they're not taking it anymore. This kid in, he was not taking it anymore. And the guy earlier mentioned the Gina Six, they're not taking it. Mm-hmm. I personally feel like we're at the very beginning of a police state, and I think it gets worse before it gets better, but it's a pretty good week so far. As far as I can tell, I mean, this is what is supposed to happen when you have this government, local and federal, acting out like this.
I hear where you're coming from when you say it's been a pretty good week so far, because people are resisting. But in their resistance, they're not getting that much help from people in the immediate area. John Kerry should have said something. He should have done something. I hope you're right in that it's been a pretty good week so far. But I also hear what you're saying about, you know, we're in the initial stages of a police state. I keep talking about fascism. Maybe I've been wrong. Maybe it's not fascism at all, although fascism could be identified as a police state. Depends on the fascism. But, you know, we're going to have a uniquely American brand of fascism in this country, and it's probably going to include private contractors maintaining order, and then a fully militarized police departments across the country. I don't know, man. It's getting a little weird. I'm just so glad that when I was a kid, I learned how to fire not just rifles and shotguns, but also handguns. Thanks, Evan. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. No, I'm not trying to be all macho with a statement like that. I don't like a feeling of helplessness. I'd like to kiss everybody back to sanity. I'd like to walk up to some of these thugs and stick a flower in the barrel of their gun. I'd like to sit around and have a huge group hug and talk about peace and freedom and paisley print T-shirts and tie-dye and, you know, all that good stuff. I really would. But that was then. This is now, Truth Seeker. That was then. This is now. You know, as far as the Bush crime family, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 17, 18 months. But there's no going back. There's no turning back from the course that they have put this country on. As long as they or any of their zombies are in power, if live human beings actually get control of this government, fairly decent or partially decent or just adequately decent human beings, live human beings, get control of this government and wrest it out of the hands of these zombies, like one of our callers said tonight, it's going to take decades to turn this sucker around. You know, it doesn't take long for a house to burn down, and it can take months, years to rebuild it. It doesn't take long for a train wreck to occur, but it can take months, weeks to count the dead and repair the track. And you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's just this ain't the '60s. Did somebody say it tonight, or I read in an email? The pendulum, we are not in a pendulum swinging back and forth situation here. You know, these rat bastards came in and broke the clock. Pendulum schmendulum. They said, hey, we're moving to a militarized police state. Corporatism, fascism, call it what you want, but that's where we're going. All aboard! Back to your phone calls. Chris is calling from Rhode Island, also listening on the internet.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Well, speaking of fascist police states, I was talking to your screener about Blackwater and the fact that we're going to have 180,000 of these gentlemen doing something after they're finished training in Iraq.
You know, that's the truth. And also, regarding Blackwater, one of the reasons the Iraqi government is really impotent in terms of throwing them out. Blackwater has a bigger army than the Iraqi government. They have more airplanes. They have more firepower. It's astonishing. Blackwater has become, if their Christianized Armageddonist leaders ever decided to, there are probably 100 different countries they could invade and take over.
And they could do a lot of damage in this one, too.
Oh, my God, could they?
I mean, I think today was just a small taste of what I might want to sound too paranoid, but I don't think I'm that far off the mark.
I don't.
I think Mr. Kerry's unwillingness to do anything about it kind of was a little eerie to me. Not surprising because he already bagged the last election, but I don't own guns, Mike, and I'm not a peace love dove person. I'm not quite old enough to be, but I'm not going to shoot anybody. That's just not my way. And I'm kind of wondering what to do because, I mean, I have this image. I talk to people who own guns that I work with, and I have this image of the Sherman tank coming down the street with a guy with a rifle. You know, I don't know if that's going to help either.
Well, you don't use your rifle on a Sherman tank. You study special weapons and tactics, and you learn how to, make immobile that Sherman tank. And by the way, they're not Sherman tanks.
Well, I don't know much about the military.
But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You learn how to resist. I'm not advocating violence. All I'm saying is, you know, I have a family. I have a 3-year-old child. I have a certain respect for the Constitution of the United States and for what was promised in that Constitution to everybody in terms of freedom as that Constitution grew and changed. And to see these filthy scum who are not, they're not invaders. They're people in our own country who if they come for me, I keep thinking about what Pastor Niemöller said about Germany in the 30s, how they came for this group and I didn't resist because I wasn't in that group. They came for that group and I didn't resist because I wasn't in that group. And eventually when they came for him, there was no one left to resist, whether it was Jews or union members or socialists or a trade unionist or whatever it was. And I can't do that. I cannot do it. You know, I'm not a gung-ho freak, let's shoot them up. If I were that way, I would have joined the Marine Corps back in the day. I'm not that way. But what freaks me out is to see these insidious, filthy Nazi bastards who have wormed their way into control of this country. And as they continue to demoralize the population and slowly but incrementally take away freedoms that people have died in battlefields all around this planet to preserve, my back goes up and I say, no, I'm not going to just sit back and let this happen. I can't do it. But I hear what you're saying. I would love to be a peace-loving man, Chris. I really would. And maybe someday I can be. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Or smoke some vials of crack. This is a time to gather force and take defeat and attack. This is no time for celebration. This is no time for saluting flags. This is no time for inner searchings. The future is at hand. This is no time for phony rhetoric. This is no time for political speech. This is a time for action. Because the future's within reach. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. Because...
Before the hour, thanks to future cellmates for putting the program together tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered in Phoenix at KPHX, also answered your calls. Billy Foster, our chat room moderator. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Go to Sam Simpson for Congress.com. Sam, S-A-M-M, Simpson. For Congress.com and check out her website. Just start there. Okay, a couple of quick emails here. This is from Lisa in Tampa. Hi, Mike. Was going to call and tell your listeners about Peace Day, September 21st, this Friday. It's an international Peace Day started back in 1999. They have a website where you can make a peace commitment for that day. My peace commitment is to call my senators and members of Congress on the 21st. And demand an end to this unjust war in Iraq. Lisa, in Tampa. The website is peaceoneday.org. Peaceone day. Peaceoneday.org. Check it out. Peaceoneday.org. Peace One Day. That just reminds me of the saddest song in the civil rights movement. I saw it as sad. A lot of people saw it as inspirational. We shall overcome. One day. And this is from Jack. Good evening, night, Mike. Between tonight's topic of the senseless tasering at University of Florida student who was asking John Kerry a few legitimate questions and tonight's bumper music, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's 1970s Helpless, I suddenly had a flashback of a senseless incident which happened back on May 4th, 1970, an event that many of the young students today probably aren't even aware of, and that was Kent State. Four of the many students protesting the Vietnam War were shot dead needlessly by the Ohio National Guard. Although this recent tasering incident in Florida certainly wasn't a Kent State, the question remains, with the direction this country is headed, will history once again repeat itself, and will Americans witness another Kent State? And how would we respond, Jack? Yeah, I wonder that, too. I wonder what's going to happen the first time someone is killed specifically protesting this war. I realize people have died in acts of protest here, but you understand what I'm saying, where there is police violence that results in demonstrators who may be vocal, may be loud, may be clapping their hands and shouting and carrying signs, but they're exercising what is still in the books, their right to assemble, peacefully assemble. I don't think screaming slogans constitutes a breach of the peace. Maybe it does in Bush's America, huh? DB is calling from West Michigan, listening on the internet. DB, welcome to the program.
Hello, it's DB Cooper, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
There is a town in North Ontario. I don't want to sing.
Thank you.
But I wanted to say that I've been listening all day to this thing about the Kerry rally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kerry screwed up, definitely, because he wasn't assertive enough. And beyond that, I think the applause that occurred with the students amongst the attendees was more applauding him for standing up for himself. I don't know what your take is on that, so go ahead and let me know.
Well, the impression I got was that they were applauding the fact that this student was being arrested. They were applauding because he had the audacity to interrupt or to ask too many questions or to refuse to give up the microphone. But maybe you're right. Maybe they were applauding. If that's the case, though,
right?
Other than a couple of shrieks that you can hear if you watch the videotape, of
right.
people who are genuinely shocked to see a fellow student being wrestled to the ground and then tasered when he's on the ground, I believe. Other than those few shrieks, most of it, and there was some catcalling and hooting. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe the applause was in support of the student. I didn't get that impression.
Well, I'm going back to 1972 when I ran for student council president in my little high school. It was a graduating class of 75.
That's little.
Yeah, it's very little. Yeah, it's a little tiny town in West Michigan. But anyway, I made this campaign announcement. There would be ashtrays in every desk. Which was like crap, but I had the whole gymnasium total applause.
Right, right.
And then I talked about we're going to wear sandals without socks, and we're going to have vending machines in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
I didn't get the first one, but I got the second two. And, boy, did the administration hate me, but they didn't taser me.
They didn't taser you.
No, I don't think they were invented then, which is probably just as well.
If they would have tasered you, maybe you wouldn't have jumped out of that airliner with the $2 million.
Yeah, I know. No, it wasn't that much. It was $200,000.
I'm sorry. I always inflate it.
Mike. That's okay.
Well, that was in 2001 dollar or 2000. I keep calling this year 2001.
It would be $2 million now.
It would be $2 million. So you can cut me a little slack there, DB.
You are damn right, bro.
All right, DB, take care, okay?
No, you too, bro. Good to talk to you.
All right.
Bye.
Behave yourself. In case y'all don't know, that's DB Cooper, the guy who demanded $200,000 in order not to, what was he going to do, Kathy? Hijack an airline? And they landed and they got the money. Hijack an airliner. Landed, the money was put on board, and he had a parachute and someplace over the Wild Wild West, he bailed out with the money. And then he went back home and bought a hardware store with his money, and he calls this program every once in a while. So it's always good to hear from D.B. Cooper. It's good to hear from all of you. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, thanks for hanging out tonight. I appreciate it. Take care, okay? And keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.